What up, folks? It's O'Shea Davis with the Working Wonder Podcast Show. And today I have my person of interest, Mr. Mike Ward. I am honored and blessed to be able to have this with him today, this conversation of family, legacy, and leadership. We've been talking about doing this over a year now, so it's finally happened, and I'm grateful for it. He's been, I quote, considered the Tom Brady of the fire department. Now, he doesn't like that, but hey, that's about as close as I can get. But he's an awesome leader, an awesome father, an awesome example of what it means to serve the public, and I've learned so much from him. I've been grateful to be a part of his crew at 17s for now 2.5 years. So I want him to introduce himself, Mr. Mike Ward.
Yeah, Mike Ward. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm a captain on the Tulsa Fire Department, and I'm in my 32nd year with the fire department.
32nd years. Most people, how many years do you say most people serve in the fire department?
I would say probably 25 to 30 is the normal.
Captain and a paramedic, correct?
I'm a captain paramedic.
And how long have you been a paramedic?
I've been a paramedic since 1998, so about 24 years. I was one of the first paramedics. Well, actually, I was in the group that was the first paramedics on the Tulsa Fire Department.
That's awesome. So would you say a lot has changed since?
Oh, yeah, lots of change. Lots of change, especially the report writing. That's the best part. No more glue sticks and stuff. We have computers and things like that now. It's nice.
Oh, I can only imagine how much things have changed, especially just the equipment that we use, too, as well, right?
Absolutely.
So I want to get into your backstory. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little small town called Big Cabin, Oklahoma. So I graduated with a class of 18 people, roughly 200 kids in the entire school from kindergarten through 12th grade. And it was a great experience. It was a great experience.
And so I'm assuming it's a very rural area?
Very rural. Yeah, my parents live in a place in between Chelsea and Big Cabin out in the country on 60 acres. Road literally dead ends at their driveway, so it's nice, very peaceful.
I imagine so. It's not very many people around.
No, it's nice. And if you got to go see your friends, you got to work for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, kids these days, we're not used to that, right? We could just literally FaceTime our friends and talk to them. So it changes. As far as, so you grow up with any siblings?
I have a brother. Okay. He's 8 years younger than me. So we spent a little bit of time at the house. I wound up graduating high school when I was 16. So,
I didn't know that. You graduated high school early?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I graduated high school early. I skipped the sixth grade, and that put me graduating early, and I went off to college, and there I am.
So what college did you go to?
My initial, I went to NSU in Tahlequah for the first 2 years, and then I transferred to the University of Oklahoma, and I graduated there in 1990. That was a long time ago.
So 1990, so you was actually on the fire department.
I came on the fire department in 1991.
1991, okay, so right after that. Yes. And then what did you get your degree in?
My degree is in political science with an emphasis in law. So I really enjoyed that. I thought I was going to go to law school and possibly become an FBI agent. That was kind of my aspirations at the time.
So knowing that your mom was into law enforcement, how did it transform into the fire service? How did that all come together?
It's my family background. It's my family history. So just circumstances kind of led to that. I graduated. The economy was in a huge recession in the 1990. So jobs were not plentiful, and you had to be 23 years old to apply to the FBI, which I was not. I was barely 21. So I was kicking around, working at some different jobs. I got a job with the Department of Corrections, which I worked for. Oh, I was working there when my dad called and said that they're testing for the fire department. And in my linear mind, how I normally think about things, I'm just laser focused on one thing and I don't ever think about anything else. And when he said that to me, it just clicked. I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely interested in that. I hadn't even thought about that since I was, you know, a kid, and it kind of just felt right. And, you know, then I just, very intimidating. I really didn't think I would get on then. It was Back then, I think we tested for roughly 3,000 people for 28 jobs.
Wow. See, it's not like that at all nowadays.
A little bit different today.
Yes. Wow. So you didn't start off originally wanting to be a firefighter then. You just...
I did when I was a child in the house growing up, but then as I got older and through high school, you know, I kind of got into true crime dramas and mysteries and things like that, detective work, and I thought, man, that FBI is kind of cool. It's kind of in the mafia type stuff. You know, I like those stories. And that's what kind of was leading me that direction. Never had an interest in really being a police officer working the streets. It was more along the lines of doing that investigative work and things like that. But then, like I said, as soon as my dad called me, I was like, yeah, that sounds right. I guess I've just, who I am is, I just want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt right. So that's kind of that story.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So you would say that one of your biggest influence into the fire service is your father.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
So that makes you second generation firefighter?
I'm third.
Third, okay. So was it your grandfather who was a firefighter as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Grandfather, and I had a great uncle that got him on. So yeah, it's goes back quite a ways, all the way back to 1928.
Wow, and Tulsa Fire Department started, what, 1890s?
Yeah, 1890s as a volunteer. I think they went paid in 1900. So almost the entire history of the Tulsa Fire Department, I've had a family member on the job.
Wow. So when you really put into perspective, we're in the year 2022, so a whole century your family has been involved into the fire service.
Almost,
wow.
Yes. Yeah,
almost. That's amazing. And then your son is on the job now, making him the fourth generation.
That's correct.
Right, so that's, man. So how did that make you feel knowing that you had a son who also wanted to, I hate to say follow in your footsteps, but fall in line of the legacy of the family? Was that something that you felt that you encourage him to do, or he just came into his own and decided to do it?
I really try to take the line of what my mother and father did, is they kind of let me find my own way. I never, ever pushed the fire department on any of my children at all. I mean, they came to the fire station, they visited the fire station, and they did all the things that firefighter kids do. But I let him find that way for himself, and he did. He found it much earlier than me. I think when he was a senior in high school, he knew exactly what he wanted to do.
And that's the first time I met him, was at Tulsa Tech, and he was in the paramedic class, and you can tell he had his stuff together, and he was 18 years old, you know, and I'm like, oh, this kid is sharp.
Very proud of him. He's smarter than what he knows.
So, Colin, if you're listening to this, your dad is prouder.
Very proud of him.
That's awesome. So, continuing on with that, so as a firefighter, you said you got on
91.
So how long were you a firefighter before you made driver?
I was a firefighter for 4 years before they had the first exam that we were eligible. So I was at Engine 3 on a platoon for 4 years from 91 until roughly 1995.
Okay, and then you were a driver for how long before you made captain?
I was a driver from 1995 to early 1998.
Okay, and what station were you at that time?
There's five districts, fire districts in Tulsa. Tulsa's geographically broken up into five areas, and I was the... I kind of covered everything in District 2. It's called the extra driver or swing driver for 6 months or so, but then primarily I was the driver at Engine 22.
Okay. And you went from Engine 22 to where when you became captain?
I promoted to captain and went to Ladder 11, which is no longer exists. It was at 15th and Yale area, and I was there for 45 days before I started paramedic school. And then when I finished paramedic school, I went to Engine 24 at 36th Street North in Peoria, and I was the captain there for a little over 12 years.
Wow. And what made you go, I want to do more than just be a firefighter? What made you think that paramedic, the decision to become a paramedic was for you? What drew you into that?
No, actually, when I came on the job, we weren't even trained to the EMT level. We were trained to what I wouldn't even call it EMR. We got a 40-hour class and how to do CPR and bandage some wounds. And when I became a driver in District 2, there was several of us that took it on our own to become an EMT and took a class out in a little small town called Rolling Hills. So I always liked to do more. I wanted to do more. I like that aspect of kind of that detective work of figuring things out. The biggest influence to make me want to be a paramedic was an event that I was riding out in charge, acting captain of Engine 15, and we responded one day to Station 17 where we work now. And we'd heard Engine 17 go out on a call. Didn't hear them go back in service. We assumed that they were still on the call. So when we got what we call the drop, which is a run to Station 17, we thought maybe it's a family member or somebody stopped by there for some help. Something bad's going on. And it was an unknown medical issue. The guy driving me, Mike Parham, he said, hey, let's go north on Yale off Admiral and then run Pine Street east to Sheridan and then come back. That way we avoid a lot of traffic lights. It's faster. And I said, that sounds great. Let's do that. So as we get to Pine Street and we turn south on Sheridan, it's literally a block before you're there to the fire station. And in that block, I'm looking and I see, well, there's Engine 17 there on the front drive of the station. So we're kind of confused. And then we see, oh, they're doing CPR on the driveway. Oh, they're doing CPR on the fireman. And the guy on the back had went into cardiac arrest, and the two guys in the front got out and were doing CPR on him. I got out with my AED because that's when I come over there, and IMSA pulls in about the same time I've got my AED turned on, and it was old school. A Life Pack 10 where they used to have the paddles, and you could, you know, literally like you see him shock on old movies. He comes up with the paddles and puts the paddles on him, and he sees that he's in VFib. My AED saying, press to shock. And I said, yours or mine? What are we going to do? He says, I'll use mine. I said, shut mine off. He said, shut yours off. I shut mine off. He goes to deliver the charge to defibrillate, and the screen goes completely black. His batteries didn't have enough power to deliver the shock. He goes back to the truck to get some more batteries. I turn my AED back on. It comes back on. And those things, as you can imagine, anything old electronic, it takes a minute. Comes back, deliver the shock, and then continue doing CPR. And I did CPR on him all the way from 17s to Hillcrest Hospital. He was in his bunker pants with his bunker boots on, and the ER staff was struggling pulling those off as they were cracking open his chest to do internal cardiac massage and to work on him that way. So distinct memory of mine is pulling off his bunkers and boots while they're doing that. And that's a guy I knew, a guy I'd worked with. I became a paramedic because I'm not saying that paramedic did anything wrong. I'm just going to be in control. Does that make sense to you? Yes, I want to be in control of the situation to where I have the equipment, the training, and the knowledge to be able to do everything that I can. That was kind of my motivation.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's very, very heartfelt that, for one, it's one of your own that you were working on, and for you to realize that at the time, of course, you didn't have the skills that a paramedic had, but you were willing to take on that so that you can have a greater influence on the outcome of a person living.
Yes.
And that shows the type of man that you are to say, like you said, the paramedic didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
No.
But if I'm in that situation, I want to be as prepared as I can be to contribute to the solution. It all makes sense now on why you wanted to become an instructor, right? Because you've been teaching first aid, CPR, all these other courses, paramedic classes for how long now?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years. Wow. So that's been a large stint of you being a paramedic, right? Because you was a paramedic, what, how many years before that?
I was probably a paramedic 6 or 7 years before that.
But that's what you do is teach people. And it also, from just my experience being with you, is that you love learning. And that's one thing I connected with you on, because that's how you improve. That's how you get better. And it also is how I believe you keep your passion alive, right? So I'm in Mike Ward's lovely home, and I have never seen so many fire books in my life. I mean, you have more fire books than any station in the city. So that just shows how passionate he is for the service. And what keeps your passion alive for the job?
Because it's who I am. It's who I am. I'm just living my life doing what I love. I mean, and it's that takes nothing away from anybody that served the job. And if they've, you know, once you finished your career and you're ready to go, that's you've thank you for your service and appreciate it. And you've contributed for me, get better each day. I just feel like, you know, sometimes I really feel like I'm just figuring this thing out. I think you're just getting to where you might be decent at this job. I never feel like I'm good. I feel like I'm trying to be better all the time. It's important to me, but it's who I am, person who likes to help people. I'll probably age out of this job. That's how long I'm going to be here.
I believe it. You make jokes all the time about us pushing you out in the wheelchair.
That's right. That's right.
I really honestly think that's going to happen.
Call you on that lift assist every day.
As we mentioned, your son is a fourth generation firefighter. Your family been in the fire service now almost 100 years. So what does legacy mean to you? Have that word ever came across your mind as something that signify your relationship with the fire department and your family?
Well, I don't know about legacy. As far as it's the family name, I'm just trying to live up to the people that came before me. And I'm not there yet. And I'm sure my son probably feels the same way. You want to have a good name on the fire department. To be considered a good firefighter, that's what my legacy I'd like to have.
Something I felt when I was in the academy, and I never thought about it before, but you're called by your last name, in the fire department, and all our last names is on our shirts. And I remember at some point, I don't know why, but it just hit me that one of the training officers is yelling, "Come on, Davis, let's go, you know. And it hit me, I'm like, that's my last name. And it sounds silly to think of it that way, but you're like, I'm carrying the reputation of my family. Because it's not my first name. This is my last name, which is the same name as my grandfather. It's the same name of his grand. You know what I'm saying? So it goes on and on and on. So you're literally carrying the name of your family on your back. And what you want that to look like, it's up to you. And I think that's very important for people to understand. You got to take pride in who came before you and who's going to come after you. Because there's a lot of guys on the job who are, you know, from, you know, their dad is on a job, their uncle's on a job, and you can't get on just because they're on. You got to get on because you want to get on and that you want to be the best firefighter you can be, if nothing else, so that when you retire, you're happy that you came here.
I would agree with that. You know, that's the thing is, it's just like you said, fire department is a family. The yes. Fire department is, you'll hear that a lot. How's your dad doing? How's your mom? I came on with the first females that got hired in Tulsa. So we're finally getting to that where they're like, how's your sister? How's your mom? I don't know that we have any second generation from the first females that were hired. We work with Adrienne Seibel, whose family has a legacy on this job. She's a third generation firefighter.
I know that.
When we worked together, you would hear, how's your grandpa? How's your dad? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I know that all of us feel that responsibility. And the other thing is you're judged by that. So you're judged by, you know, are you good or are you not as good? And that's just the way that it is. And
yes.
As far as the legacy is, it's the family name, but the legacy is also who you've worked with, right? I don't ever look at it as I worked for some people when I was young. Since then, since I've been a captain, I work with. I don't mean that disparagingly about the people I work for. I could tell you lots of stories about how much influence they have on me. It's the people I work with, you know, and it's comforting to see now, because, I mean, I would used to hear the old-timers say, you know, what's this job coming to? You know, yada, yada, yada. And I look now and I see that, you know, the job's going to be just fine. It's going to be better when I leave. It's going to be better because you guys have... Fighting fires is fighting fires. They do get harder. The materials change, things like that. But all the different parameters of what a firefighter is today is constantly changing. And it's much more complex and technical. And so the challenges that you are going to have and the next generation is going to have is going to be much more than what I had to deal with. And you know what? I'm confident that you guys are going to do a great job. I really am.
That means a lot that you feel that way about us, because I think, like you said, a lot of the old timers will say the opposite.
Of course.
You know,
some of that's ribbing and some of it's serious. So it's, you know, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
Yes, it is. And that's what's interesting too, because, you know, being on the promotion list, I kind of thought about it the other day when we was at that little smoldering fire, that I guess industrial place that we were at. And I was looking at the guys that were rolling up the hose, the water hose that we had. And I was like, okay, so all of them, you know, just got on, maybe younger than me, same age. But I'm like, at some point, you know, I could be their lieutenant. Yes. And I was like,
Very soon, you will be their lieutenant.
Exactly. So I started thinking, I'm like, wow, so what type of leader do I want to be? You know, who do I want to work with in a way that I can hopefully influence and that they can influence me? Because we all learn from each other. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the fire department, because the way we work is we're on 24 hours and we're off for 48. So we spend a third of our year with each other. That's a lot of time. And we are shaped by the people we're around. We are. And that was one thing that connected with me on how I joined the fire service. And I told you this before, but I worked several different jobs prior to the fire department. But just to simplify it, I met a guy named Charlie McGee. And he was a retired firefighter. And at the time, I was selling cars. And long story short, I didn't sell him a car. I sat in a Challenger with him talking to him forever. And his wife yelled and said, "You don't need another one of those." And I'm like, wow, what does this guy do? And that's what he said. Oh, I'm a retired firefighter. Never said he was from Tulsa. Just said he was a retired firefighter. And I thought in my mind, I said, if I could work with guys like him, that'd be awesome. And that's what drew me to it, on top of wanting to help people. So that goes into my next question, as far as what would you say, or who would you say were some of the most influential leaders in the beginning of your career, and why? But start off when you first was a firefighter.
Okay. Well, again, let me go back and say again, my dad, okay, and my mom. Why do you say that? Well, there's a picture of when my dad was a firefighter at Engine 17. They made a rescue house fire one morning where he found two little boys and pulled them out. And there's a picture that I have of him giving mouth to mouth to a little boy in the yard. That's the epitome of what a hero is to me. And then there was another thing, another fire. My neighbors had a fire in Big Cabin one day, and I'll never forget, the fire department showed up, and the volunteer fire department, and my dad just went in there, overalls, no helmet, no mask, took the line in because they weren't going in, and took a pike pole and just pulled the ceiling down and put the fire out. And, you know, besides being a Vietnam veteran and wounded, multiple Purple Hearts, I mean, he's a good man. My mom, they used to be a firefighter auxiliary, and they would do different contests and things. Like, they literally ride the tailboard of the fire trucks. The ladies would drive the fire trucks, and they would lay hose out and perform evolutions.
Your mom did?
Yeah, my mom did that. My grandmother was involved in that.
What?
Yeah, so they were great. And I can remember as a kid watching them do that, you know. So I've been in it for, like I said, forever. My grandfather, I can remember visiting him at the station. So those were my early influences. And I'd be remiss, O'Shea, before we get started with my firefighter influence, is my grandmother. She's a tough one. She taught me discipline. She taught in a nice way. She taught me to never stop learning. It's a lady who taught herself Latin because she was interested. She was intelligent. She was loving. She was caring. And she taught me how to live a disciplined life to be successful. So to get to, now to start with the fire department, when I got to Engine 3, wow, they were a company called Squad 1, which were the elite. They kind of disbanded the squad program. Then basically the squad operated at all the working fires, and they were one of the first units to have jaws of life in the city. So they were kind of the elite of the elite. budget cuts and constraints. So they disbanded the squad program, but they took the truck and the entire crews on all three shifts to Station 3 and kind of disbanded the people at threes. And I go as a rookie on a platoon with the next most junior member having, you know, almost 10 years more on the job than me. And I went to work for a legend on the fire department. His name was Milo Dean. He'd made captain a year before I was born. Most of the chiefs had either worked with him as a firefighter or he had been their captain. Highly respected. That was a time when you would travel to places and people, you know, like to give you a hard time. When you walked in and said you worked at threes, that was you didn't mess with. It was an awesome to learn from him. I'm still learning from him. One thing that was great that I've tried to carry on, COVID kind of knocked that down a little bit, but to have company come by that were retired and still on the job and listen to what they said. It's not a, I don't necessarily know that that's a skill that people have today, just to listen and to hear what they were telling you and how much they were teaching you the job. My driver was fantastic. He was he got a great sense of humor. He probably taught me how to have a sense of humor on the job, even though sometimes I felt like I was the butt of the jokes. Probably the biggest influence to me as far as a firefighter was the other firefighter there named Alan Taylor. I love that guy. Yes, his son's on the job. Outstanding firefighter, does a fantastic job. He taught me how to breathe smoke. He taught me how to push hard when you don't. He taught me how to be a fireman. And I'm forever indebted to him.
That was Mike Ward speaking on the topic of legacy, family, and the fire service. This is the first part of the Work and Wonder episode about Mike Ward. Tune in for the second episode coming very soon as he speaks on advice to future company officers as well as current company officers and those who are interested in the fire service. Thank you again for listening to the Work and Wonder podcast show by O'Shea Davis, and I appreciate you. Please like, share, and subscribe. Take care.